This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's Tuesday. Let's talk a little growth and development and pie with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn a whole lot more online at cvilletomorrow.org. Happy Tuesday.
And you can go to cvilletomorrow.org/pie and learn about the great 2008 pie adventure.
There you go. And also the big pie thing coming up in the fall, right?
cvillepiefest.com. You can learn about the pie festival being held at the Crozet Mud House in October. And I can't remember what the date is.
But that's going to be a packed house.
It's going to be fun.
That's going to be a packed house. Can guests eat free pie or just the judges?
Well, Coy, those are the kind of details. I'm showing up as a judge.
Somebody's at Twitter that.
Somebody else is working on that.
So we're judges, so we'll certainly be eating some pie.
But I do have a little pie story.
Oh, of course you do. Good.
My family dropped off my son Sam at what's called Nature Camp.
Way to go, Sam.
So Sam is at a two-week nature camp right now.
What is Nature Camp?
Nature Camp is this great invention. My wife and all her brothers and sisters went there growing up. They came up from Danville, Virginia to go to Nature Camp.
So this is like a family tradition.
Off the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's in a place called Vesuvius, Virginia.
I know Vesuvius, yeah.
You get to Vesuvius by going out to Stanton, then south on 81.
Yep.
It's one of the exits there.
Welcome to the valley.
Might be the Raphine exit.
It's Rockbridge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Southern Augusta or Rockbridge.
And you can also get there by going the back way through Nelson County.
And then over the mountain.
And then cross over the mountain.
Yeah.
But anyway, they dropped off Sam. And all they needed to do was go anywhere near Stanton. And of course, that was an excuse to go to Mrs. Rouse.
Of course.
So Gene and Abby went to Mrs. Rouse, which is at the first exit north from Stanton on 81.
Right off of 81.
So they went there and they called me up and they said, "What kind of pie do you want?" I was like,
You got the pie call.
I don't care.
What were you doing when they called?
Just get a pie.
What were you doing? Twittering? Facebooking?
I don't know what I was doing.
MySpacing?
I was spacing out, I think. So they came home with this beautiful chocolate cream pie. Mm. Great. Had the meringue on top.
Oh, man. That sounds great. And they didn't eat it in the car on the way home?
They must have sampled it. And maybe they had another one that I never knew about. But I did come home and find the pie. And they offered me some, which is great. But it was good.
It was good, right?
It was outstanding.
Yeah, Mrs. Rouse pies.
Now Abby said it's the best pie she's ever had. Period.
Abby, really?
And Abby's getting to be a pretty good judge of pie herself.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So
she comes from a pie family.
So Abby loved it, and she loved it so much. Last night she is on the phone with a friend from out of town, but they're on the phone for like 2 hours.
Well, she's in high school.
She's in high school.
That's how you do it. That's how they roll.
So she's rolling on this phone call, and I see her coming in and out of the kitchen while I'm sitting on the couch watching TV.
And she's on the phone while she's walking?
She's on the phone. She's talking. I see the refrigerator open, and then I see it close, and then she leaves the room. And, Coy, you know, that got me thinking about that sign I saw in Delaware. Remember I was telling you about on the back of the pie case, there was a sign that said, "Do not recut the pie or you'll be fired."
Oh, that's why it was there. People were sampling. Workers were, like, taking off little pieces.
Let me tell you, my daughter was doing a heavy bit of sampling last night.
While she's on the phone?
Such that you would not recognize the chocolate cream pie by the end of the evening. And in fact, it then got left out on the counter. It was too inaccessible in the fridge. She needed it a little more close at hand. So Gene and I wake up this morning and we're like, "What is that pie doing on the counter?" What's left of the pie?
Does she use a spoon or a fork?
She was using a spoon, I think.
And she leaves it in the pie dish?
No. I think actually she was kind enough to put the spoon back in the sink. But I just leave it in the pie dish.
I should
go look in her room. Maybe it's up there.
It's more convenient. You just leave it in the pie. That way it's there for you.
By all means, if you're listening and you want to defend yourself, you call. You call, girl.
Well, she knows a good pie when she tastes one.
She does.
That's what it gets down to. She's not going to let it go to waste. So, she's not going to let it sit.
That's what's happening at your house.
I got a dog.
Big four.
I don't have
a pie.
I got a dog. My sister's husband works at FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. He's getting transferred to Kiev. So they're going to the Ukraine for 2 years. So she calls me a few weeks ago and says, "You're my last resort. Please help. Will you take Buddy?" Buddy is there.
Buddy. How could you turn down a buddy?
I'm telling you. their one-year-old, 100-pound Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Now, we have cats. I haven't had a dog in a while. But, of course, I said, well, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
So she came up the other day. This thing is huge. I mean, I have never seen a dog.
What's the biggest part of this dog? The paws or the head? I mean, what?
The head is like a Volkswagen. I mean, and the legs themselves are like higher than my children.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know what that means? Big muddy paw prints.
Oh yeah. Well, I've already seen him. But I'm cool with it.
But he's your buddy.
Great. Oh, he's already my buddy. We've hit it off.
I bet he's
And the
very
kids
happy.
Hit it off with him. They're having a wonderful time with him. He doesn't bark too much.
Have you seen your cats lately?
The cats are fine. He grew up with cats.
Oh, okay.
My sister's got like 5 cats all over the place. So he's great.
I bet
he's so
be
funny
a water dog at your house.
He's a Chesapeake Bay Retriever.
Right.
He's already been in the water.
Right.
That muddy water, yes. But what's so funny is if he's going to go outside to go potty, he's got to get something in his mouth, whether it's a tennis ball or a bone. And it's so funny to watch him run around looking for something. You know, sort of like when you head to the bathroom, you got to find something to read. He's running around looking for his tennis ball. Where's my ball? I got to go outside. So funny. He's really cute.
Oh, that's funny.
So we've hit it off. So
I want to see pictures. Have you put them up on Facebook?
As soon as I can, I'll put something on Facebook.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And anybody wants to friend me on Facebook, just send me a friend request and I will confirm. And we'll get a picture of Buddy up there ASAP.
Awesome.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll start with a little water. Speaking of water, we'll be right back. That's a good song. It's a pretty bad recording, but it's a good song. Who is this? Journey. That's right. I can remember listening to this with one of the very first Walkmans while I was running. Remember back in the day when we were kids and you had... When you went running, you took a Walkman, but it was huge.
Yeah.
You know,
my kids were asking me the other day, what was a transistor radio?
Are you serious?
So I tried to explain the evolution from tubes to transistors.
Yeah, back when all the rock music was on AM.
I would take
everything
apart.
And nothing was on FM.
As a kid, I was taking all that stuff apart.
Were you one of those?
I learned about electricity the hard way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You would like take a phone apart and...
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you become an engineer? Well, you sort of are.
I don't think I'm smart.
You do a lot of that technical stuff. You Twitter and you Facebook. And
oh,
you...
speaking of social networking.
Yes.
Let me give a brief example of why this is important.
Okay.
Because people often come up to you and they're like, Brian, I just don't get Twitter, you know, or I don't get Flickr. What is Flickr?
Yeah,
somebody
exactly.
In a meeting on Monday, somebody, we're at this, in this big meeting, they poked me on the back. Brian, sometime you have to explain to me what Flickr is. Well, Flickr is a photo sharing website. So you can upload photographs to Flickr, right?
Yeah. And it allows you to like put your photos like on your blog and your website very easily.
And that's the cool thing about it. It's easy to share them. You can subscribe to friends' feeds on Flickr. Now, Facebook's doing some of the same things where you can put pictures on Facebook.
And see your friends' pictures.
Similar thing. But you know me. I'm always trying to figure out how can I take it to the next level. So what I did was I figured out I needed a bunch. This is by way of talking about water. We've got a new water publication. Unfortunately, I'm short on photographs of some of the key water features in town. So I needed better pictures of Sugar Hollow Reservoir, South Fork Ravenna Reservoir, Ragged Mountain Reservoir.
Go to Flickr.
So I went to Flickr. I started looking around. I was like, hey, those are great pictures of Sugar Hollow.
Is there like a search thing?
Yeah, you can search by keyword if they've given it a description, so you can find
and
it that way.
And it's flickr.com, right?
That's right.
Flickr.com.
So if you go there now and you search for example, South Fork Ravenna Reservoir, you will find a new group that I created on Flickr. So I created these groups for each of the reservoirs. So now anybody in the world who takes a picture of one of those reservoirs, they could choose on their own to put it in this group. But if they do that, the cool thing about Flickr is now we have Sevopedia. Sevopedia is the wiki, like Wikipedia.com. Sevopedia is the local...
The online encyclopedia.
And we're building a local version called sevopedia.org. And now Sevopedia has embedded within the articles about things like the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir a slideshow featuring photos from other people.
And it's all automatic.
It's all automatic. That's drop it in the group, it shows up in Sevopedia.
Too cool.
So I wrote emails to some of the people that took these pictures. One of them is in England. The other person, I don't know where they are in Virginia. And one of them wrote back and said, absolutely, I'll add my pictures. And so now they're up there.
Can you go into Flickr and just use any picture you want for any purpose?
You each
picture...
Does it
have like a, what they call a Creative Commons license?
It depends on the photographer. So they may give away those rights. Charlottesville Tomorrow, our practice is to let anybody use our photos as long as they give us attribution. So our pictures all say that. This thing that I'm doing is a little different, Koi, because we're bringing them into another website. So they have to opt into these groups. But anyway, it's by way of saying that there are cool things with social networking that I think are helpful for building community knowledge about things like the water supply, and we're trying to find new ways to do that.
Very cool. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and you can see all this, what he's talking about, at sevillepedia.org and sevilletomorrow.org.
At the top of sevilletomorrow.org right now, we have an announcement about our water publication.
This is pretty cool. This is a big deal.
Previewed that with you last week, and it's called Our Water, Our Future. And the first issue has been released. It's a short three-page publication. Each issue, we're going to do six issues. Each of them will be 2 to 4 pages and talk about different topics related to this water supply discussion.
You can read them on the website, or you can like download them and print them out.
You can print them. I hadn't tried that feature until right before the show. I was relieved that it worked.
It looks great. It
looks great. Now, my fancy map didn't show up because that's a fancy map and it's a
separate
interactive
program.
But on Sevillepedia, we have copies of the maps. So again, our goal, Koi, is not to take a position on this one way or the other, but to make sure we've got some good factual, objective information out there that the public can look at.
So what is there for somebody, and what is this six-part? So this is a six-part series looking at the 50-year water supply plan and all the controversy and debate around it.
Right. So the next issue, we're going to be talking about drought and growth. Drought and growth are two of the issues that led to us needing a plan of some sort, right? So we had the drought in 2002, and that really changed our thinking about planning for water. And the next issue, I can sort of preview that a little bit, is going to cover those things. In a subsequent issue, the third issue, we're going to talk about the 2006 water supply plan that both City Council and the Board of Supervisors agreed to. A lot of questions, though, have been raised about that plan since it was approved, related to dredging, related to other alternatives. And so other future issues will cover those topics. So we're going to release this in a serial fashion online, but it's in a real neat interactive format on the website. It makes it pretty attractive. And one of your sponsors, I know, is the Charlottesville Association of Realtors. And they have their ClickBook, right?
Yes, indeed. At car.com/ClickBook.
This is the same technology that the ClickBook is built on. We actually borrowed this idea from the folks that helped the realtors with this, but it's a neat online magazine kind of format.
Yeah. You click on the picture of the article or the publication, and it opens this window where you can sort of turn pages and go back and forth and zoom in and zoom out. One of the coolest things in this thing, in this report, is this picture you have of the area. We were talking about it last week, and you can toggle back and forth between the current water supply plan and the proposed 50-year water supply plan. And what really jumps out at you about the proposed 50-year plan is this enormous, how long is this? This pipeline that goes from the South Fork of the Ravanna Reservoir over to the Ragged Mountain, and it looks like just going back and forth.
Well, it does take a circuitous route.
And, yeah, that's saying it very politely.
And that's, you know, it's following different property, let's just call them opportunities, places they can route it. And one of the pieces of feedback I've gotten already was that I made the Sugar Hollow pipeline too straight and simple. So let me just say, it's for illustrative purposes. We're trying to communicate the general organization of things, and it's not necessarily exactly to scale. So, for example, the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, I think the expanded version, we probably made a big splash with it. It probably looks a little bigger than it will actually be. But again, the point is to emphasize that part of the water supply plan is to build a larger dam, which floods more land, builds a bigger reservoir.
Right. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. We've got a whole lot to talk about when we get back. Some of the things we'll discuss.
They include things like bricking on the downtown mall, what they decided to do with the leftover money. We can talk a little bit about this Army Corps of Engineers letter in the Meadow Creek Parkway, get your take on that, and certainly would appreciate any calls about that. I've got some candidates running for office talking about the Meadow Creek Parkway, and a big topic has come up between UVA and Albemarle County related to the Fontaine Research Park.
Ooh, good stuff coming up after this break for local news and weather. We're back here in about 10 minutes. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Whatever happened to this group?
That's good music, too. Creed.
Oh, love it.
It's funny.
That's what I work out to on my Walkman. Or on my iPod.
One of the funniest things that ever happened with my kids. We bought this album, Creed's Greatest Hits.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't they have some Christian rock background?
Yeah. Okay. I saw Behind the Music of Creed.
So I'm not making that up.
I saw that show, Behind the Music.
So I knew I liked Creed because I'd seen them on TV or something.
Yeah.
Saw their video. I don't know what. Anyway, we're traveling somewhere. We go into this Five and Dime. I grab Creed's Greatest Hits. I pop it in. I'm like, kids, you're going to love this. It's, Christian rock and, they're good people, whatever. I gave it some positive, glowing spin. And the very first song on this is like this really rough music in the beginning, and then the word lies comes out, and it's just like lies this, lies that, and the kids are looking at me like, what kind of Christian rock are you talking about, Dad?
That's a chapter in the Old Testament you never heard of, son.
Anyway, but I do like their music. I don't know what happened. I think he went solo, and
he was like, I had a drinking problem, didn't he?
I don't know.
And you know, I honestly have no idea what I'm talking about. I probably shouldn't have said that on the radio, but I thought that was some rumor I heard, but they just sort of disappeared, I think.
You have to ask Hawes.
But they
Spencer.
Were huge.
He'll know.
They were top of the world.
Dead or alive with Hawes Spencer, he'll tell you.
Yeah, find out what happened to him. Hey, you're from Atlanta. You grew up in Atlanta.
I did.
You know where CNN is now?
Yeah.
The big place? They used to have ice hockey in there. Do they still
have
one?
They had more than that in there, Coy, and you know what was in there.
Do you remember that?
The land of
Sid Marty Croft. Have we talked about that before?
We have.
I don't know why. I just thought about that during the break. I'm like, Brian's from Atlanta, just like me. I wonder if you remember Sid and Marty Croft.
Oh, I went
there. The world of Sid and Marty Croft.
And it had the biggest escalator in the world at the
time.
Well,
the escalator's still there, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess
as part of CNN.
Once you put in the biggest escalator in the world,
yeah, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to take that? It is huge, though. I mean, it goes up like 20 stories on an escalator.
Complex. Now, the Omni is not there anymore, right? Didn't they tear that down? Not the Omni Hotel.
No.
But in Atlanta, the Omni Coliseum.
Well, that's where the escalator is, isn't it?
No, it was next to it.
Oh, okay.
But I think they tore down the old Omni where the Flames used to play in the Atlanta Hawks.
Where they had the ice rink.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they tore that down.
Oh, I didn't know.
Anyway, that's where I grew up seeing all these rock concerts.
And World of Sid Marty Croft had a indoor ride where you get in the pinball and go through the pinball machine.
I don't remember that.
Wicked cool. Yeah, I remember a lot about that.
Anyway,
that was fun, and it was only around for like a year, back in the mid '70s.
Well,
when we were just wee children, Brian.
Speaking of the Omni,
yes,
Omni Hotel. Let's bring it back to Charlottesville, Coy.
Indeed,
The downtown mall connects to the Omni, and we have news about the bricks on the downtown mall. Not only did they pretty much stick to the schedule, although some people are quick to point out that the fountains are not working yet, so they got to work on the fountains. But that renovation project went very well for the city. And in fact, Jim Tolbert with City Neighborhood Development Services told City Council he's got about $1.5 million left over.
Well, he can send that to my house.
And
I'll buy food for this dog. I'm going to need it.
That dog is going to be, yes, he's going to be working you over on that.
We had a caller, or Leon, just let me know that the Omni Coliseum was demolished in 1997. In Atlanta, Georgia.
Excellent. See, now somebody probably looked that up on Wikipedia while we were talking.
I think Leon just knows these things.
And that's what we're going to be able to do with Civilpedia once everyone puts all their knowledge in it. I'm sorry. Just had to plug it there real quick.
Let's real quick go to William on line one. He's waiting patiently. William, go right ahead.
Well, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Omni was built by Maurice Alpert, class of 1953 at the University of Virginia.
Wow.
NYU law graduate. As he built the Omni Hotel here in Charlottesville and all over the world. But that's not what I'm calling about.
We got to get that in Civilpedia.
That's pretty interesting.
That is. What's his name again?
Alpert. Maurice Alpert.
Alpert built the Omni in Atlanta and the Omni in Charlottesville.
Well, he started the Omni Hotel Corporation.
Oh.
And they built Omni hotels all over the world.
Very cool.
Hmm.
UVA Maurice, graduate.
A lot of folks would say he's cool. but the reason I'm calling is about this business going on in McIntyre Park.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm at a loss to understand how a city government could turn over part of its land to a religious secular organization like the Young Men's Christian Association. Are we reserving a portion of that park for the Young Man's Buddhist Association or the Young Man's Hindu Association? I'm sorry, I do not, in the land of Thomas Jefferson, I don't understand why some lawsuit has not blocked this construction.
It's a good question. And when that's been brought up, what I've heard folks from the YMCA say is that they will not turn anyone away. So it's not that only people who say they're Christians can participate in YMCA activities.
I understand that. I lived in a YMCA in New York, and I was an active participant in the YMCA in Atlanta. But nonetheless, it's a secular organization that has a goal, and the city ought not to participate in that goal.
And the goal is what? Proselytizing? Is that?
Certainly. At the long range, why would you not call yourself a Christian association if you weren't interested in becoming Christian?
That's an excellent point.
It's a good question.
Yeah. And I mean, it's public money supporting this.
Public land.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's land that Mr. McIntyre gave the city, although I've been told by the city that the limits of that which Mr. McIntyre gave has been expanded by some acquisitions and one thing and another. But nonetheless, it's just, to me, a shame to lose open space for a building, and particularly a building that's built by a secular organization.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And that when he gave that land, you know, just whether they added land to it or not, in the legal language, it says that, you know, this is a gift to the people of the city of Charlottesville in perpetuity. This is parkland, period. It didn't say one day you might want to use this land for a road or you might want to put some buildings here. And it was always intended to be parkland, period.
Nowhere did it say we'd use it for a young man's Christian association.
Yeah, it's an excellent point.
You know, when I've heard Dave Norris respond to this, he's really, you know, downplayed the religious concerns.
He has to.
But I'm just saying that he's downplayed that and played up that he sees it as a win-win for the city, that the location is a benefit next to the high school. And I know this was talked about on Coy's show in the previous segment, but just trying to get the other perspective out there, that I think the city sees having a community center and aquatic facilities within the center of the city, not exactly the center, but near the center, in a place that has parking and will be accessible off of the 250 bypass as a positive thing.
Driving to any place is getting to be a major problem and will be a bigger problem in the future. But why, if they're so interested in catering to the public, why don't they go south of town?
They did talk about that.
Extended.
Well, they looked at Piedmont Virginia Community College, and Piedmont was open to that. Albemarle County said, we'll give you money to do this at either location. So Albemarle County has been involved in this decision, too. They were willing to support the YMCA despite its religious affiliations. So both local governments said, this is a group that can build a facility cheaper than we can build it. So let's help them find a site.
They still have to raise the money, though.
The
group has to raise more money.
They're a charitable organization under our Internal Revenue Code, so gifts to them are deductible.
Well, I don't think that matters for a government entity because they're already tax exempt.
Yeah.
No. But they can't raise the money. The YMCA can raise the money to put up this monstrosity.
Which they're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're in the middle of doing that.
They're in the middle of doing it.
It's going to be a big building too.
But just to your point, the other sites were looked at. I don't know the inner workings of that decision as far as which one was. Why they ruled that one out, but
I thought PVCC would have been a good site.
Well, is it really necessary that we have a YMCA in Charlottesville? Don't we have a YMBA, Buddhist Association, or a Jewish Association, whatever?
Well, I guess I would say that if the Buddhists came forward and said, we will build a pool and community center, and we will open it up to everyone in the community, I would think both local governments would be interested in having that conversation.
And we actually have a long history of a YMCA in Charlottesville. Madison Hall, which is now the home of the president's administration, the main office at UVA, right across the street from the rotunda, was built in 1905, was originally a YMCA.
I'm very familiar with that, Coy, and your history is very good. The university bought it from them somehow or another, and I don't know how that happened.
Right.
But nonetheless, in the home of Thomas Jefferson, it just seems to me wrong to turn over public land to a secular organization.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, PVCC is public land as well.
What?
The Piedmont Virginia
okay.
Community College
gotcha.
Is government land as well. Would that strike you the same way?
Oh, no. No, no. No, because it would not take public parkland to do that if they, whoever the community college wanted to turn over their land to that, hooray.
Yeah.
But you'd still have the religious concern, I guess.
Well, yeah, I have a religious concern from standpoint of
separation of church and state.
In this community of Thomas Jefferson, in the Statute of Religious Freedom, of any public land being used by a secular organization.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. I mean, I've always thought that Charlottesville and this community in Central Virginia, we should be the example for the nation for the principles of Thomas Jefferson.
The world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. William, where in Atlanta are you from?
Buckhead.
Oh, there you go. Brian, where are you from?
I was from Clarkston, which is near Stone Mountain.
I was from Emory.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. William, it's great to talk to you. Call me again, okay?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you joining the conversation. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, our Tuesday afternoon growth and development discussion. So there's money left over now.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about.
From building this new mall. Have you seen this new mall they built with all the new bricks?
I'm on the new mall every day almost. It's great.
Where'd you have lunch today?
I had lunch at the Dumpling Place.
Is that what it's called, the Dumpling Place?
That's what I call it.
I'm actually having lunch there tomorrow.
Marco and Lucas.
I'm going down to have lunch with Hawes tomorrow on the downtown mall. Where should we go?
Bizou's always a good place.
That's
to
where
meet
he
somebody.
Always goes.
Oh, okay.
He goes to Bizou like every day.
Well, make him walk to the other end of the mall then.
Yeah, yeah.
Take him up to Bashir's. That's
Bashir's. Haven't been to there in forever.
Other end of the mall.
Yeah, that's
make
good
walk.
So there's money left over from building this new mall.
As I said, about $1.5 million in savings. They were talking about $1.1 million of it that they can confirm last night. But they're going to reinvest that money into other mall-related projects, most of it. They're going to set aside $300,000, $800,000 they're going to put into Second Street, which is where the Landmark Hotel is. So the Landmark Hotel, which is in process of something.
That's our monument to the economy.
The economy monument,
yeah.
That sidewalk needs to be fixed because they brought in the big cranes, construction stuff. They tore that place up. We have a great picture on our website right now.
Let me see.
Looking down from up in Live Arts.
Lord have mercy.
At this. I told Sean, I said, Sean, there's a little balcony next to Live Arts. Just go up there and take a picture.
This so is awful.
He found this his
is,
way up to
this
that
is Second Street
picture.
Getting from Water Street up to the mall.
You got it. So they're going to invest money in giving the same sort of brick treatment and wider sidewalks and improving access along there. And the developer, whoever inherits that project, will have to contribute some money to reimburse them for that. That was part of the deal when they...
So this is money the public will get back.
Some of that they will get back.
Because basically we're just putting a Band-Aid on somebody, this guy who tried to build this hotel down here and walked away from it, it looks like.
And then you'll be glad to hear, Coy, another $200,000 will go towards the corner and repairing curbs and sidewalks in the corner district.
They need to repair it? They just put a bunch of money into the corner. Summer of 92, they redid the corner.
They need more.
I guess it's time. It's almost 20 years later.
Yep.
When are they going to redo all the bricks on that?
That's the way this infrastructure is, Coy. It's expensive and it takes constant attention.
Do you remember
attention.
When they redid the corner in the summer of 92? All the construction? Boy, it was a mess. But it was worth it. It looks great.
I'm not around the corner that much, but I remember them doing that.
Yeah.
It certainly looks good.
It looks totally different.
In front of the bookstore there.
They got rid of those. Remember those little steps that used to go down the street in front of Anderson Brothers?
Yeah.
They were there for like 100 years.
There's still steps.
In fact, they went in at the turn of the 20th century when they dug the road out underneath the railroad trestle.
But the steps are still there.
No, it's like a little place to sit and eat now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But there's still steps that go down.
Down the sidewalk.
Oh, the sidewalk.
There were steps that dropped off in front of Anderson Brothers all the way to the street.
Like
really thin, narrow steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people would sit there. It was a nice place to sit.
Trip and fall right into traffic.
It was.
So that's the news on the mall front.
There you go.
What else do we want to talk about?
Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, let's see.
You got those council candidates?
Through my story. Oh, yeah. Okay, that was fun. Council candidate Bob Fenwick was out on the mall. He's having what he's calling Fenwick's Forums.
And also the Fontaine Sunset Connector.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So Bob Fenwick, the full story is up on our website. He has very strong opinions about Meadow Creek Parkway. He's opposed to the parkway being built. And me too. He outlined he's going to use these Fenwick forums, these weekly gatherings, to inform the public about his positions. He had his first one focused on the Meadow Creek Parkway. I went nuts on this one. We've got audio, video, photographs, and a summary. I don't know what I was doing on Saturday, but it all just came out. And so it was a good discussion. And I tried in the article to highlight some of the differences between Mr. Fenwick and two of the other candidates, Dave Norris, Kristen Zekas. They're all running for city council. They're two seats up on city council this November.
All righty. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
What can you tell
What's
us about?
What's going on at Fontaine?
Fontaine Research Park, that whole part of town there, south of the university.
The university would like to expand the research park further. They already have the property, but they need a rezoning to do more of their construction there. And one of the interesting things, Coy, you know how these road projects work. The county is not getting any funding for roads from the state, so it really needs developers as part of the negotiations to proffer money to go into road projects.
It's the only way we can get them.
Biscuit Run, for example, proffered millions of dollars for off-site improvements. In fact, some of the money from Biscuit Run, a county development, will go to the city of Charlottesville to pay for improvements on Old Lynchburg Road.
Because you're going to have so many people living in that neighborhood when the economy turns around and they finally build it, right, who will be going in and out of the city through Old Lynchburg Road.
So there was a discussion about this at a recent meeting. There are these quarterly meetings between city, county, and UVA. We've documented some of the discussion. But Leonard Sandridge with the University of Virginia has sort of drawn a line in the sand here and said UVA is not paying for any roads off their property. Now, the key thing that's needed in the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector is a bridge between what's called the Granger property and UVA's Research Park. So to complete this road that would connect Sunset over to Fontaine and interconnect those neighborhoods and allow people to get to this employment center, you've got to cross the railroad tracks. And that's going to take an expensive bridge or tunnel. But right now, that the state of the negotiations, the University of Virginia is saying they're not in a position to help. And they say, we know, Albemarle County, you're going to have to take that under advisement, but that's where we are.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy. Good luck with that dog.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.